All right, so I want to remind you this morning that on Easter Sunday, I had told you about H.R. 5 bill. And I want to just remind you this morning before we get to today's message, because it's that important. This is a devastating bill in terms of its requirements for churches, places of worship, and families, parents and children. I'm not going to get into detail here. I want you to go and investigate it for yourself. And if you agree, I want you to take action by letting your representatives know that you don't agree, assuming you don't agree. I can't tell you how to think about it. You have to make that decision for yourself, but you ought to know what's in the bill, and then you ought to act on it. So take some time to do that, please. There's some things up here today, how you can reach. You don't have to do a lot here. All you have to do is understand what's in the bill and then take some action. And it's kind of laid out for you here what you can do. It's the phone numbers, there's emails. The place you can get the information is at the childparentrights.org website. All right? I had the slides up for all the different aspects of the bill last time. I'm not going to go through that again. I want you to go to the site. I want you to read through the bill. The biggest aspects of it are, again, relative to houses of worship being mandated to do certain things and to parents and children, right? Our children can't drink alcohol until they're 21. Yeah. But this bill would allow children to have life-altering surgery, permanently altering their body without parental consent at as early age as they can make a decision, which is real early. It doesn't make any sense. You want to do something like that? Wait until the person has fully developed and then and has legal rights, like age 21, and then let them make the decision. But to intervene into a family and say, your child can make this decision without parental consent, is just something we will not agree with. Never. Not now. Not ever. At least I won't. So you need to be aware of what's going on, and I need to be aware of what's going on. We're not telling people they don't have a choice to do what they want to do. We're not telling people they can't live the way they want to. What we're saying is we are not going to be forced to do that. So please take some time and get familiar with the bill, and then take like 5 minutes or however long it takes to make a phone call or send an email so that we can get this bill stopped and, you know, get something that's, you know, maybe we need a bill, but it's certainly not this one. All right, so this morning's title is Seeds Produce Growth. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come alive in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the miracle of you this morning and the miracle of the invitation to be with you, to join you in that perfect relationship that was intended from the very, very beginning. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come, to cultivate us, to plow us up, to do the things necessary, prune us so that we are ready to receive new seed and we are ready to grow in a supernatural way. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to be in Matthew a lot, and we are going to go over some familiar scripture for probably most of us. But we're relying on God to take the familiar and make it spectacular for us this morning. Matthew 13, 3 through 16, really. This part is 3 through 7. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, The plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." So we say, speak to our own heart this morning. Here's a question we should ask our own heart. Am I always hearing, but never understanding? And am I always seeing, but never perceiving? It's a hard question. It's a question we have to ask. Because when we don't ask the hard questions, we do not grow. We do not produce. Now, this is not necessarily just a kingdom concept. It's the same anywhere in our life. Wherever we are in life, when we won't expose what we think to a challenge and work through that, risk the possibility that someone might challenge the ideas or the thoughts we have, we don't grow. We stay in that place. This is how I think. This is how I thought yesterday. This is how I'll think tomorrow, 20 years from now. I still think the same. That's not a growth lifestyle. That is a stagnant and really declining lifestyle. If we are not moving forward, we are moving backward. There is no neutral. We used to sing an old hymn. Said, neutral you cannot be. You go to the Revelation, God says, "I wish you were cold," like didn't care at all, or really hot, meaning growing like you should be, right? Now, when we say growing like we should be, don't get me wrong. It's not a treadmill. You're not on some kind of treadmill, right? When you plant a seed, you watch it. If you don't plant it today and come out tomorrow, it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. Whoa. It's not like that. You all know that if you've ever planted a flower or even watched a cartoon or maybe not a cartoon because it might be like Jack and the Beanstalk, read a book, you know that you got to first usually plow the soil and maybe fertilize it, and then you put the seed in, and then you water, and then you wait. Last year I planted basil into my yard. For some reason, we usually get magnificent basil in. The basil didn't come. And then when it finally came at the end of the season, it was very small. And I don't know why, but just as a point of reference, it's a process. So we're not saying that the growth should be like some phenomenal thing going on in your life, but it should be steady progress, moving from glory to glory, moving from lesser fruit to greater fruit in your life. Because you know what happens to fruit when it stops growing, right? It rots. So we have a responsibility in a certain sense. In a way, again, this morning, we want to think about our responsibility, our part of the equation, our part of the relationship. And we want to be faithful to that which God has called us to. We don't want to, "Well, God will do that. Well, God will take care of it. Well, God," yes, he will do that. But there's still a responsibility on our part to respond. There's still a responsibility on our part to hunger. Where hunger meets God, great things happen. All the time. Not just, you know, it's not a one-time hunger. This is a lifetime, an eternity, if you will, of hunger. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. What happens when you hear over and over again, and I hear over and over again, and I see over and over again, and we don't do anything about it? What happens? Hardness. Not just, I'm going to ignore that. You see, we think we're okay if we hear the word of the Lord, if we see a miracle, if we see something that we know is absolutely God doing, and we don't pay attention, we don't take any action, we don't apply the piece of that that belongs to us on that day. On this day, God planned something for you and me, and all you that are online this morning, God planned something for you today. And when it comes, if we don't take action on it, we heard, we saw, we did nothing, we become calloused. And again, like the growth pattern, the callous pattern is a slow pattern over time. And if you're not paying attention, you won't recognize that you're getting harder, that you're getting more callous. It's a slow creep, a slow death, if you will. It's not, I'm just going to stay who I am. We think that. We're deluding ourselves. It's taking us down a terrible path and digging us deeper into a place that we don't want to be. We convince ourselves that, well, hey, I'm just neutral right now. I'm not sure I'm ready to accept that, or I'm not sure I know how to accept that. I'm just going to stay neutral. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I'm either going to go forward. I'm either going to take that. Now, maybe you don't understand what to do with it. Well, you get before the Lord and you say, God, this thing happened, or this is what I heard today. I don't necessarily know how it applies to me right this minute. I'm not sure I could digest it or I can understand it, but I need light. I need revelation. So I'm putting it before you on the altar, and I'm saying, don't let it pass. Help me figure it out. And he will do that. Might not be that instant when you make the prayer, but sooner or later, that thing will pop back to you and you'll say, aha, that's what he was trying to stimulate. That's what he was trying to prune in me. That was trying to fertilize me. There was the growth. Here comes the growth from that thing that I grabbed a hold of and said, this is mine today. He sent this for me. This people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Let me just remind you that this is not a call to action over any other thing you might think this morning. But he's speaking to the people that were waiting for him and professed to be about him. He's not speaking to people that don't know God. He's speaking to the people of his days that were the scholars, that had great knowledge, that had anticipation that the Savior was to come to them. All true statements. All, like you would say, okay, these people, if anybody was positioned, if anybody was in the right place at the right time to receive from God, these would be the people. And this is what he's saying to them. He's saying to them, hey, this is what you're like. This is what the kingdom is like. And this is what you need to hear. And it's interesting how he says in the previous verse, why are you speaking parables? And he says, it was given to you. It's not given to them. I would say it's available to you and it's available to them. You choose to hear and see. They're choosing not to hear and see. But we have to be careful, because we can easily, in any moment of time or on any given day, be those that are choosing not to hear and see. And we don't think about it that way. We don't think, I don't think, when I hear something, whether it's worship I'm listening to on a given day. It's somebody speaking about something on a given day. It's here in this house where someone else is speaking. I don't think necessarily that I'm choosing not to hear and not to see. But I have to be responsible to say, what did I see and hear today? And how am I going to apply it to myself when I leave here? When I turn off that worship song that I listened to, I have to say, what did I just hear? And how am I applying it to me? We could get into a place where that song we listened to or that thing could just be some gratification that makes me feel good. That's a nice thing, but that's not the intent of that thing. The intent of that thing is to shift your life in a growth direction, in a positive direction, so that you are more like the Savior and more ready to do what He's called you to do here on the planet. It's not a chance thing. I'm trying to digest this myself. Because we do some things by remote control, right? And they're good things. We say, well, I'm going to listen to this. I'll give you an example. I listen to the Give Him 15 every morning now by Dutch Sheets. And it becomes like a habit. And that's a good habit, right? But now you got to say, like, God's going to hold me responsible for every give him 15 that I listen to. Now that just totally changed the game. Because now I got two choices. I either stop listening or I really listen. And I say, okay, God, what has to change in me today because of that word? Or I'll say it this way. What has to change in me today because of that seed? I don't think we think about it like that often enough. Maybe some of us do. I know I don't. We think they're casual moments, and we think it's good, and maybe we like to hear the word. But are we paying attention to what is being released, and are we making the application? Now, I'm not telling you that you should go do that every day. It's just something that I happened to pick up in the last couple months. I'm saying whatever it is that you do in your life in that sense, whether you read the word every night or something like that, you're responsible then. You're responsible then. A seed has been released, and you're responsible to apply it somewhere in your life so that it's driving growth in you. Matthew 13, here's the last part of it, I think 13 through 15. Otherwise means there's an opportunity. He says these people are hearing, are listening but not hearing, they're seeing and not perceiving, and because of that process over and over again, their hearts are becoming calloused. But otherwise, if they were different, if they chose differently, it wouldn't be the case. Otherwise, they might see, they might hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. It's not a, well, he chose these to hear and see and understand, and he just said no to those. He doesn't like those. He's not willing that any should be lost. And he's not speaking or not doing a miracle every day, all the time, in all our lives, at the exclusion of one of us versus the other. It's different for each of us, but it's happening all the time. And the moment we decide that we would really want to hear and really want to see, he'll heal us and make us whole. But that becomes more difficult and difficult the more callous we get. And sometimes we're just callous in an area. Sometimes it's not about belief or non-belief at all. It's about, I believe God, but I'm stuck in these areas of behavior, or I'm stuck in these areas that I can't trust him for, or I'm stuck in some place in my heart. Some trauma has caused me to turn off a part of my heart that God is saying, come alive this morning in that area. And the word is coming, or a song is coming, or a miracle is coming. And I've become too callous over that area. I've paved it over too many times. And so now it's almost an impossible to break through, but everything is possible with God. But we got to be asking ourselves the question. If we're not asking the question, we can't even be aware that we have to do something there. And so what happens? The seed falls and it burns up, or it gets stolen away immediately, depending on our level of ignorance, apathy. You fill it in the blank. Either the seed never even gets a chance because it gets stolen immediately because we're not paying attention at all, or the seed gets in and it just doesn't have enough of fertility, meaning we're not putting enough emphasis on it, or we're not caring enough, valuing it enough. We're not nurturing it enough, and it gets destroyed. Or the cares of life, the worries of the day, all the chaos that's going on, we did nurture it a little, but it just got too difficult. And it never bears the fruit. And so we think about this. We want to challenge our thinking about this parable in general. This parable is about salvation, but it's about so much more than that this morning. It's about so much more than that, because we could receive the seed of salvation and get stuck there. And yet God is planting and sowing more seed every day in so many different ways. I want to tell you this morning that the word of God is a miracle. You say, well, I didn't see any miracles. You're hearing a miracle right now. Every time you read the Bible, it's a miracle. And I'm not saying that to diminish miracles, all right? I'm saying that the way we think sometimes is so narrow that we don't understand that God is constantly sowing seeds. That seed could be the word. That seed could be a song. That seed could be a miracle. That seed could be a healing. It could be a whole bunch of things. But we've got everything bucketized, and we've got a definition of how God should do his stuff, and we limit ourselves. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, we know the disciples, based on what we can read in the Bible, were not perfect. They were far from perfect individuals. So what is the difference then? The difference is, their hearts were in a place where they were willing to receive, and they were willing to have their hearts challenged. You can remember a couple of times in the New Testament where people, his followers, did really not so great things, right? You know, the main one is Peter betrayed him, right? Lord, you'll never go to death, and if you do, I'm going with you. And Peter, he said to Peter, you'll deny me. And he did. And the difference is that when he denied him, he didn't go away. He didn't say, hey, I'm an abject failure. I don't deserve this. I'll just go and do like Judas did. He opened his heart to scrutiny. And he applied the words and the seeds that Jesus had taught him over the time they were together. And he was able to be renewed. He was able to do what it says right here. Hear with his eyes, see, hear with his ears, see with his eyes, and understand and turn. And we have to do that. That's why the word of the Lord comes. That's why we listen to a song here or there throughout our day. That's why we do devotions. That's why we read the Bible, so that the word of the Lord can come and turn us. In that turning, fruit is produced. And when we have a foundation, so we say, hey, if the seed means salvation, that's great. But on the foundation of salvation is where exponential fruit can be built. You can't have exponential fruit until you have some fruit. And it's like anything else in life. If you're studying a discipline, if you're building a profession, you don't start out as the best brain surgeon in the world. You don't start out as the best athlete in the world. You start out terrible, raw. Maybe you have some inborn talent or skill, but it takes you many, many years to refine that. And you don't refine brain surgery when you have a person that is desperately dying from a brain tumor. You refine brain surgery over here in the textbook, over years and years of study, over years and years of practice, over years and years of informing new seed, new seed, new seed, new seed. I'm ready now to operate on the terminal cancer tumor in someone's brain. I just don't wake up one morning and I'm ready to do that. I've got to apply myself across that discipline over and over again. I've got to challenge my current thinking. I've got to inform with new thinking. I've got to expose to new treatments, new concepts. All that stuff would be the seed that is being planted around neurosurgery for me to get to the place where I'm a good or I'm an expert neurosurgeon. Now suppose that I've done all that and I get here today and I'm considered an expert in my field. If I stay where I am today, if I never open another book, I never read another journal, I don't follow the developing science, how long do you think it'll be that I'll still be the best neurosurgeon around? Not long. Especially not today, because the technological change happened so fast. You have to stay abreast. You have to take what's new and question what is existing. This is a natural example. This is how it works in the spirit. You have to take what's existing, hear what God is saying that's new, and challenge where you are. It's the challenge. It's the struggle that produces the growth. If that process doesn't happen, we're stagnant or we're going stale or the fruit's going to rot. Going the wrong way here. Hold on a minute. Now let's go to some of the woes. We don't like the woes. Yeah, Jeremy spoke about love last week, right? Now we're going to speak about woes. And this has nothing to do with that. It's absolutely, his word was very targeted and spot on, right? But we have to pay attention that in the love of God, in the application of the love of God, I might say it this way, that if we listen to Jeremy's message last week, that is how we are. That could be a definition of fruit in full bloom. But in order to get fruit in full bloom, you have to apply these processes to your life. You have to have the word, the seed, the miracle of the Lord affecting you all the time. And you have to be figuring out how it takes you from where you are to where you need to be. And that is greater love, greater demonstration, greater glory, right? So the process. So again, he's talking to these people. Listen to this amazing thing. And imagine if he said to us this evening, Matthew 11:21, woe to you, Jersey City. Woe to you, Carlstadt. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It sounds weird, but he's not talking to people that were opposed to him. He's not talking to people that had no relationship with or supposed relationship with God. He's not talking with, you know, people that don't know. He's talking to people that are claiming to be prepared and waiting for centuries for the Messiah. And now he's saying, woe unto you, because if the miracles were performed where you are, somewhere else, they would have taken, applied, and saw the growth and produced the fruit, but you didn't. And so when you see miracles here, I want to submit to you, it wasn't just, hey, people got healed, people got delivered and all that. It was that, but it was also the words that he spoke in those places. There were miracles released by the word of his mouth. It was the teachings. It was the Sermon on the Mount. It was all these things were part of the miracles he's talking about there. It wasn't just phenomenon. It was the word of the Lord which has power. If these things were done in another place, they would have done the diligence. They would have done the hard work of mining their hearts and turning and then say, I want to hear, I want to see, I would have healed them. And they would have been well. And it's a question we got to ask ourselves this morning. We can't go by it and say, well, that was for them. Those dumb people of Chorazin and Bethsaida. What's wrong with them? We've got to say this morning, God, what you released, what you're releasing constantly, am I hearing? Am I applying? Are you doing things in my life that somebody else, if they just got some of it, would turn and I'm stuck or I'm not moving or I'm going backwards? Is that a possibility? It may not be true. But if we don't ask the question, we don't know. And we can't claim ignorance. Because this is too rich and too costly a gift that we've been given to take lightly. Matthew 23:15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. That's us. That's you, Al. That's you, Sue, Ruth. Jeremy, anybody who has ever tried to teach somebody else something about God, that's you, that's me. You hypocrites, you travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. That's hard to take, man. That's really hard to take. But again, we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Is my life and is my growth pattern making people people of life or people of death? People of heaven or people of hell? This is difficult stuff. I know we want to come here and we want to feel good, and we do feel good. And we want to feel the love of God and the presence of God, and we do feel that. But there's also an exchange that has to be made so that we can be fertilized, we can be watered, that new seed can be planted on top of a growing foundation and a base where we are building a better us, because that word is having and that miracle is having its intended effect in our lives. One more woe, only three. Luke 11:52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. This is going on in the church and in the culture right now. The key to knowledge is being taken away. We're leading people down a road that is not the road that God intended at all. And there'll be woe to pay for that. And so this morning we want to calibrate with God. And we want to say, God, if that's me, I want to turn right now. I want to hear and I want to see and I want to turn and be corrected. I want to get my path straight. I want to get my growth back. You've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves had not entered. You know, God didn't call us to define what's in the Bible or interpret what's in the Bible. He called us to apply his word, to ask for his spirit to guide us in his word and to apply it, not to manipulate it, not to ignore the parts we don't like or we don't want to apply. Not to opinionate on it, well, this is what I think it means. Not to have it facilitate a lifestyle or a way of life that we choose on our own. He called us to follow his word. Jesus said, you're my disciples if you follow my commands, if you do what I say. The leaders of the time had great knowledge. But they were taken away pieces of what's important. And you can very easily open the Bible and manipulate it to mean whatever you want it to mean. And you can convince yourself that you're right. Especially when you're not asking God, God, is this me? Is this my heart? Am I producing fruit? Am I going in the direction that you want me to go? You yourselves have not entered in, and you're hindering those who are trying to enter. The farmer's not looking for a one-time return. The seed is not about, hey, let me get one plant planted and let me get, you know, some fruit. You know, maybe I'll get some a little fruit out of this plant. I'll get a little more out of that plant and I'll get a lot out of that plant. He wants all the fruit he intended for your life out of every single one of us. This is not meant to mean that you, John Michael, are going to only bear 30% fruit and you, Daniel, are only going to bear 60% fruit. He wants us all at 100 plus fruit. And we all have that capability. That is embedded in us. The day we met Jesus, we became incredibly potential fruit bearers. But now what happens is that day we met Jesus was the initial seed. And then seeds continue to fall into our life. And the degree to which we produce is the degree to which we accept the seed. We challenge our current heart state and we allow that seed to refine us, to prune us, to water us, to fertilize us so that we build more seed. We build more fruit. We produce more fruit. He's sowing with eternity in mind. Each seed is building a foundation for greater growth and fruit. With each planting comes greater growth and revelation. I'm stuck. I'm not hearing God. I'm not seeing anything. Okay, well, take what you know about yourself right now and take some of the recent things that God has said in the Word. Go back and listen to a couple of messages or a song you've been listening to. You ever get stuck on a song? And you start to listen to it, same song for a month. There's a reason why you're listening to it for a month. God is speaking. It's a seed to you. Something's got to shift. You think it's because it makes you feel good. You think because you like the rhythm, or you like the beat, or you like the words. This is where we have to separate, where the sharp sword of the Spirit has to separate what is our flesh part of it, which is not wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to that song because it makes you feel good. That's fine. But in the feel good, when you get caught in something like that, one of the ways to know that there's something that you might not be fully absorbing is that you keep going back to it. There's a reason you keep going back to it. God is trying to affect something in you. There has to be an exchange made so that greater fruit can come. But we just think, well, yeah, I love that song. I listened to it for a month. Now, sometimes I believe, I can't prove it from the scripture, but I believe sometimes because our heart is in the right place, that process happens automatically because we may not be aware that we are ready for it or as ready for it as we think, but we listen to that thing over and over again and it produces that fruit because we're in a fertilized state. We're in a receptive state. We're not just mailing it in, if you will, meaning we're not just listening to it for the pleasantry of it. We're listening to it because each time, I mean, sometimes I'll listen to a song and each time I listen to it, I'm weeping. Because God is doing something so profound. But being aware helps us grow. It reduces our resistance. And we don't sometimes think we have resistance. We do. With each planting comes greater growth and revelation. I mean, if you ever... If you know about waves, like everything that's communicated today is communicated on either radio waves, microwaves, or optical waves, fiber optics, it's waves of light. And you can get a meter that can look at all of them. So if you would be able to look out, if you had the meter today, look out, you'd see all of these color spectrums and everything that are flying through the air, because that's all this information is moving around. And if we could see the amount of seed right now that way that God is spreading on us. I mean, I think we would be overwhelmed. So we're never going to be able to say, and I don't think anybody would say this, but we're never going to be able to say, well, God, you weren't planting anything by me. In an honest way, right? Now, if we're not wanting to hear, or hearing but not understanding, and there's a slight difference, right? Suppose you read a book, you have a favorite topic that you like. I like leadership. I read a lot of books on leadership. Suppose I read the book. I read the book. I might be able to tell you something about the book. But if I don't apply the concepts in the book, there's no growth in me. There's no fruit in my life. If I don't take that concept, apply it to what I already know about leadership, tease it out, expose it to people I know, and have some back and forth, iron sharpens iron. When you can't talk about the things you believe in with other people and allow the scrutiny of the discussion to clarify, solidify, or expand your understanding of something, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. As a human being, we need that give and take process just for normal type of growth in your brain and stability and vitality, okay? But suppose you read any book it is you want and you find some new concept and you don't do anything with it. You don't have growth. You might have some knowledge, but you don't have growth. You don't have growth until you apply that seed, which was the book, the concept, to your life, and it shifts your life in a new direction. That's the way that God has worked. He's releasing seed to us continually. It's not a one-time thing that he's doing. Hearing and seeing produces one of two outcomes. Either it hardens and it stagnates, or it produces rapid growth and maturity. There's no middle. There's no middle. There's only one that can say that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't get to say that. Resistance to growth destabilizes us. That's me and you personally. And not only that, that's not the worst part. You hear all these people say, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want. It's never just your life. We're connected to people, whether we like it or not. We're connected. So when your life starts to become destabilized, and a lot of times we don't know it's happening. It's just happening because every time we refuse the seed or the miracle of what God is doing, and he's doing it all the time, we become more calloused, otherwise known as destabilizer. You could put a lot of words in there. That destabilization or callousness does not just affect us. It affects everybody we come in contact with, like it or not. And so the concept is we're either having a positive growth effect on the people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis, or we're having a destabilizing effect on them. But there is no other option. It's one or the other. Submitting ourselves to the pruning of Holy Spirit is costly, but all growth comes at a cost. All growth comes at a cost. You think about all the options we have in life. Some of you younger people, you're looking out at the horizon saying, hey, this is something I want to do, and this is something I want to do, and there's a million options available to you today, more than probably any other time on the planet. But if you do not narrow in on something specific, you'll never be good at anything. You'll be maybe decent at a lot of things, But you'll never be really good at anything unless you focus. And in order to focus, by default, you have to eliminate a lot of these other options. You cannot put energy everywhere in order to build that brain surgeon capacity. You have to put it in that place, in that discipline. And you have to follow through and you have to keep applying in there. If you put energy all over the place, you're going to have a broad range of very shallow knowledge. Some people can be very fluent or expert at a few things, but not many. It's proven fact. The way that we get more fruit is to focus more on what he's planting. Focus more on the seed that he's releasing and taking that seed and saying to our own selves, come alive in the name of Jesus. God, what does this seed mean this morning that I'm hearing? What is the songs we had this morning? If that's all you got this morning, if all you got this morning was God's touching my heart and there's an area that dawned on me in the worship that is not alive, that's the seed of the Lord for you today to act on. What am I going to do about that? I can't ignore it. I got to act on it. Otherwise, I become more calloused in that area. When we are unpruned, we become seed resistant, or otherwise we become calloused. So, God is releasing seed today. Our job is to receive what he's releasing, to apply it, say, God, what does this have to do with me today in my current state? And how does my current state have to shift to adapt to where you're taking me to? And then make the change. And some of that might be painful. It definitely will be costly. And it's sometimes it's going to be a struggle. And sometimes it's going to take a time. Some of those seeds could be effective right this very minute. Some of them will take a little longer. It doesn't mean we get daunted and say, whoa, God, and I just realized this is what that word is saying to me, and I've been really, bit delinquent in that area. Okay, take the first step this morning. You're not going to change everything in 1 minute, right? We talked about it. The plant, you got to plant it. You got to watch it. Takes time, water, fertilize. You keep nurturing that seed. Meantime, your openness and your willingness, he's planting more on top of that. He's intending more for you. So there's a constant supply coming your way when you're willing to hear and see, understand, and open your heart and allow him to do all that he's intended to do for you. Amen? Amen. Let's just stand up and say some declarations. This morning, if you're sitting in bed watching this, get out of bed, stand up. Shake it off. Tell yourself, come alive in the name of Jesus. Here we go. I take responsibility to prepare the soil of my heart for the seed of the Lord. I value and nurture every seed he sends. I will be as fruitful as he created me to be. Any seed I have squandered, I repent for. And I ask you, Lord, to replant anything I have missed. I will not be a producer of sour, rotten, or bad fruit. I will be fruitful and multiply the fruit of the King and his kingdom. Amen.